You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. That's why I see animation. Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
animation. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thank you so much for keeping the conversation going on this Bears Monday. Shot or no shot, every day at 8 o'clock. And it's brought to you by
Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the Points Bet app, and you can play the lightning bets, the same game parlays. Use it for Monday Night Football tonight. Use the booster. Get your odds increased. If you want to play the ponies, use the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app that I did on Saturday afternoon. I had a lot of fun.
With shot or no shot, here's Shay Norley. Shay?
Good morning, boys. Cap, Hoodie, how we doing?
Good, man. What's up, Snore?
I'm good, brother. I'm tired today, but I'm here. I'm happy. I'm ready to do this. Let's go.
All right. Let's have it.
All right, let's get after it. Justin Fields lost a fumble yesterday after Braxton Jones got beat by Azeez Ojulari on a passing play intended for Equanimeous St. Brown. The surprise, though, was the lack of effort displayed by St. Brown and Cody Whitehair in getting after the loose ball at the line of scrimmage and trying to recover the football. Fields postgame called it a, quote, learning experience for his offensive line to play through the whistle after what looked like a clear violation of the hits principle. My question, shot or no shot? The hits principle honeymoon has worn off of this offense.
That's a no shot. Not through four games, but you need to reinforce. Ask a coach, like the guy next to me, ask a coach when you have to tighten the screws. You set the screw in, it's tight, but sometimes it gets loose. As a coach, you have to reinforce that screw.
Bingo.
Am I not right about that?
There could be times in three years from now. Oh, God, I didn't react. Was Cody Whitehair's knee already bothering him? Maybe he couldn't get on the ground. I don't know. He ended up leaving the game, and now they have him in a brace, and he probably has a serious injury. Was he trying to play through something at that point, and there was no way he was getting on the ground anyway? Yeah, it's a no shot. The hits principle is alive and well at Halas Hall.
But to your point, Shay, it's got to be executed. Right? So a couple of egregious plays doesn't mean that it's done. But if you're Eberflus, you need to look at that tape really well this morning and say, you know, we have principles here and we did not execute those.
Yeah, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another to see it on the field on Sundays. So when you see it not be executed, and it's something that Eberflus has talked so much about being a focal point of this team, every play we will go after the football. Every play you will hustle to get loose balls. And then you see it not happen.
It's not going to be the last time. Guys are getting the crap beaten on them. They're not going to get on every play max effort. That's just not going to happen.
Shay.
All right, the Bears' defense once again looked inept against the run, allowing Saquon Barkley to pop for 146 yards on the ground, and the Giants' team to rush for 262 yards total. That included over 60 yards from Daniel Jones and two naked bootlegs that went for long rushing touchdowns by the Giant quarterback. My question, shot or no shot, for all the talk about the offense the past few weeks, the defense is actually a bigger issue.
That's a shot. They just, what did they give up? 262 yards rushing. San Francisco ran for a buck 60 or 70. Green Bay ran the ball over 200 yards. Bad defense, folks. It is what it is. Our front seven got trampled.
That's exactly right. And the secondary wasn't very good either.
Correct.
I mean, that's almost a side shot or no shot regarding, you know, who's been the better player in the secondary, Brisker or Gordon?
Gordon had a couple really nice plays yesterday. I thought he and Brisker also showed their inexperience. Mm-hmm. Brisker had a couple big hits, and then he had a couple plays. He looked lost. He was in the wrong gap. That stuff is going to happen with young players.
Yeah, that's so certainly the case. So that's a shot defensively, Shay, because when you're giving up that much yardage on the ground, look, as I mentioned before, the Giants and the Bears are very similar in the way they play. We said it leading into the game. that the Giants would run the football with Barkley. You got a healthy Barkley that they were going to run the football, just like the Bears run the football. But they just have a few more plays. They have a few more weapons at their arsenal to help them get over the hump. I mean, they're not a good football team, but they're good enough to beat the Bears. So defensively, I'm concerned. Eddie Jackson is back to being Eddie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be more than that, Cap. Got to be more than that.
Agreed. And again, when you allow a team to dominate the line of scrimmage and run the football with relative impunity, you're in big trouble.
One sack. That's all we got. One sack.
Well, they didn't throw the ball much, the Giants, because they didn't have to. That's why you have to stop the run before you can get after the quarterback.
Shay.
All right, we've talked a lot this season about coin flip games for the Bears. If you ask me, they lost one of those coin flips yesterday. They had a bevy of errors in that game. And after dropping yesterday's game, my question, shot or no shot, the Bears won't hit their win total over at 6.
That's a shot. I've been clear. They're going to win. I said 5 games was my high water mark. I wouldn't be shocked if they won less. There are bad teams in the league. Can they win a game? Can they pull an upset? Sure. I just don't. Winning 7 games? I don't see it.
That's, well, it's a no shot, or it's a shot, because that was my original win total. I told you at the beginning of the season I saw a 7-10 ball club because I looked at the schedule and said, maybe you do something against the Falcons and the Jets. Maybe you could split against the Lions, the Commanders, and you can try your luck. It just, at this point in time, I need 5 more wins to reach that 7. Is there 5 more wins on the schedule?
I don't see them, but again, it's who you play and when you play them.
Mm-hmm.
You could end up playing a team that you think you're in big trouble with, and they don't have their quarterback and 2 of their offensive linemen, and you find a way to win. So let's just play it one at a time.
Shay.
All right, I want to move to Green Bay, where the Packers were taken to the brink by the Patriots and a 4th-round rookie third-string quarterback, Bailey Zappe, yesterday at Lambeau. The Packers won in overtime on a last-second field goal. They'll improve to 3-1 with their 3rd straight victory. But Aaron Rodgers said post-game that this style of winning is, quote, not sustainable. He said they put too much pressure on the defense and on the special teams to make plays. So my question, shot or no shot, the Packers right now are not true contenders.
You know what? He could stick it up his ass. That's what he could do. Stop. Always complaining. Sullen. Just always complaining. That's the best team in the NFC North. You're going to win. I know that you want the Super Bowl. But, man, you knew what you were dealing with coming into the season. You know you didn't have necessarily a A-plus number one wide receiver. You're just like, come on, man. You're like college football fans. It's about style. Like, how did you win? Doesn't matter if it's aesthetically pleasing. Did you beat Belichick or not? You did. Just stop. Cap, I'm so tired of him complaining. Well, this guy here, he's a guy that's in the mansion. He goes, you know, I'm really disappointed in my home because I have a spot on my window. This is a disaster. You got a mansion. Come on, man. You're one of the top teams in the NFC because of him. Just cut it out. Am I wrong about that?
To a degree, you're right.
How?
I'm not convinced they're the best team in the division.
Okay.
Their offense does not look good, and he's a great football player, and they can run the football. Those guys have got to take another step, the receivers. That Minnesota team's no joke now.
Stop it. Just stop. I mean, here's the guy that's been railing against Kirk Cousins for years. You! And all of a sudden, now you're going to exalt them?
Well, I'm not exalting him. I'm just telling you, it's a bad division. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson is one of the best players in the league. Adam Thielen, they got a solid offensive line. Danelle Hunter is going to make Justin thinks he got sacked a lot yesterday. Wait till Danelle Hunter gets a hold of him.
At the same time, though, it is Kirk Cousins throwing the football.
Agreed.
I mean, the embodiment of 500.
Yes, he is not a great player.
Does the Lions offense work? Yeah, it works. The defense doesn't work. That's the only thing with them.
The Lions are the highest scoring team in the NFL.
So that's fine.
Crazy.
Yeah, and losing. You're 1-3.
Yeah.
Because you can't stop anybody. But this Aaron Rodgers, come on, man. You had Bill Belichick whispering sweet nothings in your ear for like 2 minutes on the field after the game. And Rodgers is trying to break away, and he's still,
I think you're the best. You're better than Brady. You're better than Brady. Brady sucks. You're the best. I wish I had you right now. I wish I had you.
Okay. Hey.
And by the way, off season, you and me, let's go smoking. Croatia, number one.
That's it. Let's maybe we could do some of that ayahuasca.
Yeah. Bill Belichick on a peyote trip through the mountains with Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
He wouldn't let him go after the game. Let him go. Let the man get to talk. No, no.
That's just me and you. Our time together. I love you. I love you. You got a great ass.
I mean, come on, man. Let him go, Cap.
Okay.
It is Green Bay. Like, what's he complaining about? Is it sustainable? Well, sustainable to win the division, because you always do. Always get the booby prize, don't you?
You do.
But when it counts in the playoffs, where will you be? That's the only thing I care about.
On the couch.
Yeah, where are you going to be? Big spot, where are you going to be?
One and done.
There you go.
Shay.
All right, you brought up Brady, Hoodie. I want to ask about the Buccaneers. They added some fuel to the building fire on the NFL's concussion protocols last night. Cameron Brate suffered a violent collision on a second down attempt, immediately went to the sideline. He was visibly disoriented on the broadcast, took a long time to get up, stumbled a little bit making his way over. The Bucs put him back into the game at the end of the second quarter before ruling him out with a confirmed concussion at halftime. So my question, shot or no shot? The NFL's concussion protocols need to be rebuilt from the ground up.
That's a shot.
Yeah, it is.
That is a shot. It's embarrassing, everything that we are seeing go on. And I think they already fired the doctor who was involved in the Tua controversy.
Correct.
So we're going to see major revisions as the season goes on.
How are we going backwards with this concussion protocol? How are we going backwards as a league?
It's a great question.
I saw what Shay's talking about with Cameron Brate. Come on, man. This will be eyes in the skies watching this stuff. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's running all over the field. He goes into the blue tent. He's got no helmet. He's just running wild.
Then they sent him to the locker room and went, you're done.
He's just running around. No one is helping him. Someone help Tyrod. You saw this, right, Cap?
I did.
He's got his hair is wild, and he's just running. He clearly concussed, right?
I'm out.
Like, is there a doctor that can help him? For God's sakes, what's wrong with this league?
And then off to the locker room and took his helmet, and he was done.
Running. Just running by himself.
He didn't know where he was. So he thought he was thought he was running track.
Am I in San Diego?
Crazy. Shay.
That's all we got, boys.
All right. That's shot or no shot for a Monday edition here on ESPN 1000. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Courtney Cronin coming up at 8:35. Alex Brown at 9 on a Bears Monday on Chicago's Home for Sports.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Last gasp for the Bears. It's Treston Ebner. There's a little structure with a flip back. And then a heave across the field. Ball is still loose in the hands of Justin Fields, who will shuffle forward. And he'll toss it backwards. Jacquin in is St. Brown. St. Brown up the field. One more toss back. Completed to Ebner. Treston Ebner making something happen. Back to one of the linemen. Back in the hands of Fields. They play popcorn. It continues to go. The fireworks are going off. Sounding an alarm. They hope on this game. Ebner throws it back. A little smaller. That'll finish it. Trying to do hockey play-by-play for a second there. Dane Belton falls on top of it to finish this game off. And so the New York Giants are 3-1.
There it is. Nonsense. 45 seconds of nonsense on Fox. Last play of the game. Throw it here, throw it there. Throw it nowhere because the Bears are now 2-2 on the season. And we're talking about it on a Bears Monday here on ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10. Jump in with us. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're here until 10. Mike Greenberg steps in from 10 to 12 into Carmen and Yurko at 12. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6 right into White Sox baseball as they take on the Twins. 6:30 pregame, 7:10 first pitch.
Took 2 of 3 from the Padres and the Cubbies have won 7 straight.
Yeah. on a Bears Monday.
Well, if we can get another month of the season, we'd be in the playoffs.
On a Bears Monday, 312, I could leave. 312-332-3776. See how that would go. How about Cubs from now until 10?
No. Fired. Let's go to the Bears.
Fired.
Danny'd be like, I'm a Cubs fan. What are you doing? The Bears Monday.
How embarrassing was that play? Were you even watching at the end of the game? Were you getting mic'd and getting ready? What are you even watching?
We were in the studio sitting there. All of us had our mics on. We're just waiting for it to end. Mommy, make it stop. Oh, God. Yeah.
So ridiculous, man. So ridiculous. But that's what happened at the end of the game, and Cap and I are talking to you about it. The Bears are 2-2. How does this get better? God.
It won't.
No, it stings. It's and just a winnable game, but you lost because of what Cap has been talking about, the lack of talent.
By the way, Saquon is a beast.
Oh, no, thank you.
My God.
Thank you. Southside, Quinton's on ESPN 1000. Thank you.
We're going on, Cap. We're going on, Jay.
What's up, Q?
Yeah, Cap, I just wanted to let you know that I agree with Q. Like I said, I had some dislike what you were saying about the Bears, but now seeing this offense, this in this defense, I totally agree with you 100%. This team is at a rebuilding stage. They're not good. I'm already looking towards seeing our draft position and seeing what players is coming out of the draft already. I'm looking at Ohio State receivers and Georgia players. I'm just trying to see what position and what free agency we can get with the money we're going to get during the free agency and next season. Cause I know we're going to have the highest money coming out, for free agency for the NFL. So I'm already looking toward next season right now. I'm not looking for no expectations from the Bears at all right now. And Justin Fields, if he don't get right, there's another quarterback out of Ohio State that's coming out just better than him. So we definitely going to have to see.
Yeah, no question. Quentin, we appreciate the telephone call.
So ESPN just put up a stat that I want to share with the audience.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is being pressured on the highest rate in the NFL. He's getting pressured on 48% of his dropbacks. That means one of every two times he drops back, somebody's in his face.
You know, the best about ESPN and shows like Get Up, the topic on the lower third, which is the graphic on the bottom, are the Bears failing Justin Fields? The Bears. What does that mean? The organization? Polls? The team? Who's failing Justin Fields?
I don't know how to answer that.
But there are calls like that you're going to hear all day on ESPN 1000 saying that, the Bears are not doing right by Justin Fields. Well, listen, if you look at the roster, you know that this is a transitional season. Look at the roster. Cap already laid out for you some of the guys that could have stayed. Could you hold on to Khalil Mack? Hold on to Allen Robinson? Could you re-sign a few guys? Sure. You could have done that, but the Bears chose to go in this direction.
But you also could have replaced them, too.
Could have spent money and replaced them, yeah.
But they decided, we're going to take all the dead cap money on all these dudes right now. They're paying a ton of money for guys to play on other teams so that they are off the books after this year. And next year, they have double the amount of cap space of any team in the NFL. North of $100 million, about $110 million. And if it goes the way we think, or at least I think, and I think you're with me, is going to go, they're going to be picking in the top six or seven.
Yes.
With a chance to make an impact in the draft and free agency.
Just open up a tab and go to the standings of the NFL and tell me what you see. It's amazing that the Bears are 2-2 based on everything else in this league. This whole league is 500. It's amazing. Back to the phone lines in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Joe on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
You know how we're doing, Joe.
How you doing, Joe?
You know.
Yeah, so listen, I know there's a lot. The O-line's not great. Obviously, the wide receivers aren't great, which the side note you guys are talking about, free agent class next year is not looking good, so I don't know how we're going to fix it there. But, I mean, there's just throws that Justin Fields is just missing touchdowns. You go on Twitter right now, somebody posted Mooney in a cover two look. The top right safety has his back turned, Mooney up the seam for a touchdown. And he's on his back foot looking at the safety, and he just doesn't throw it.
Yeah, but you got to remember something. And again, I'm not excusing some of his play. 50% of the time he drops back, he is under duress. There were nine quarterback hits. There were six sacks. He automatically doesn't just go, oh, I'm clean this time. Let me step right into that. He's looking because he thinks he's going to get his head kicked in.
Right, and some of it he holds the ball on too long. But again, we're in the NFL. Zappy's going around. He's throwing the ball pretty well yesterday. I mean, Justin Fields has all training
camp. Let's stop with the Zappy stuff, please. They're in a different space in New England than we are.
I love it.
Come on, really?
Camp, what about the Zappy?
Now we want Bailey Zappy to be our quarterback. Come on. They have picked their lane.
Zappy. He's got a Hall of Fame coach, by the way. That, if nothing else, that would have told me is, wasn't about Zappy, it was about Belichick getting them ready.
Yeah. One guy has 322 or 23 wins. One guy has two. The guy who has two is our coach. And I'm not denigrating him. He's in his first job. Come on.
Space. What's up, Space?
Cap Hoodie. What's up, fellas?
What's
How y'all
up?
Feeling?
What's your idea, Space? Okay.
Hey, man. First off, hey, cool it with the Zappy talk, guys. What are we comparing it to? We're talking about Bill Belichick, and we're talking about a team that has a team, has an offensive line, has a defensive line, and then a Hall of Fame coach. So you expect more from them. Justin is doing the best he can with what he got. This man is... He having nightmares now, you know. Every time he drops back, he don't know when he's going to have a clean pocket or when he should take off. There was a time an announcer said maybe he should just roll out a little bit and stayed in the pocket, which was true, instead of scrambling. But as history has shown him, it's time to go for it. You know, it's time to get out of here, and it's time to just run for my life, because that's what he's doing mostly every play. So he's doing the best he can. I'll tell you this. Our defensive scheme, our defensive coach, sucked yesterday. It was just, oh my goodness. I like Dominique Robinson, the rookie. I really do, but this was his worst game ever. Number 91, he was trash on the outside. He couldn't keep containment. I'm a defensive end. You know, the main thing that you're supposed to do is keep containment. You
yes.
are getting just killed over there, man. I don't get it. That was your only job. So our game plan for this running team who had no receivers was just off. And it was bad to look at, man. And I know we're in a rebuild, guys, so everybody got to relax on Justin Fields.
Nope.
If you were running for your life all the time, you know, it would happen. So, you know, that's what I'm saying as far as that's concerned. But real quick sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
$3.126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Sign my ball.
What a game with Georgia, huh? Georgia and Mizzou hoodie? I mean, I thought Georgia was going to give it up to him. Mizzou played some ball, I must say. But, yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah,
you know, Georgia still looks good.
I don't like good games.
Thanks, Space.
I expect excellence. That was one to sweat out.
But you found a way to win.
Didn't like the Toledo game either. Didn't we play Toledo before that? Who did we play?
Kent State.
Same area. That's Kent State. Not very good defensively.
No, not right. But you lost about 600 guys in the draft last year from your defense. Let me ask you a quick question. You asked me to pull up the standings. I'm on NFL.com.
Look at those standings, Cap.
Okay. I want you to tell me who the Bears are better than. Miami? No shot.
No.
Buffalo?
No.
Stop. The Jets? They're not better than the Jets.
They are better than the Jets.
They're not better than the Jets. New England?
Just coaching. Nope.
Cleveland?
Nope.
Cincinnati?
Nope.
Baltimore?
Nope. Even though they got some problems defensively.
I'll give you the Steelers. They're a bad team, too.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No, they're not. They're not a bad football team. They had a clown show as a quarterback. That's the problem.
Well, then the guy they brought in threw three picks.
All right. Well, he's a kid. What do you expect?
They don't have a lot of talent. Their offensive line's not very good.
Mm-mm.
They're not great.
Don't do that. The standard is a standard.
Yeah, he could say all that, but they're still not very good. But I'll give you. Jacksonville, no chance. Tennessee, no shot. Indy has more talent than the Bears.
It should be better than 1-2-1, but they're not.
Correct. And I'll give you that we're better than Houston. We beat Houston.
It's the only team in the league that doesn't have a victory.
Better than Kansas City?
Keep going.
The Chargers?
Yeah.
Denver? The Raiders? Stop.
Yes.
Okay, that's just the AFC. I gave you potentially two teams were better than Pittsburgh and Houston. potentially, and probably just Houston. Go to the NFC. Philly, Dallas, the Giants just beat us. Washington? I'll give you that.
We'll see.
Vikings? No. Packers? No. Lions? Lions have more talent. They got three first-round picks on their offensive line. Their defense stinks.
Bears?
Bucks? Falcons? Falcons are 2-2. Carolina? Okay, I'll give you that one. New Orleans? No. The Rams? Stop. The Arizona Cardinals? No. Seattle? We all thought Seattle was going to be terrible. They're 2-2. And the Niners? We're one of the worst five teams in the NFL, and that's a fact.
Courtney Cronin on the Bears will join us coming up next. Alex Brown at the top of the hour. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Thanks so much for being with us here on this Bears Monday as the Bears lose to the Giants. Some thoughts, Cap, from Brian Daboll, the head coach for the Giants, about the way the Giants were able to attack the Bears.
Good week of practice. That was, I would say, the plan going into it. It's always good when things work out the way you want them to work out in a game. You know, Daniels weren't necessarily designed runs. There was pass elements to the play that, you know, we thought would be a good, you know, few good designs to run against their team. And they happened to go with the receiver. You know, we hit a couple other ones. You know, we hit the one to Sills where they called us on a formation. And, you know, I thought our line did a good job. We ran the ball inside. We ran the ball outside. Had a couple scheme runs in there that we liked this particular week. And then 26 is, you know, I've said it since OTAs, is really good football player.
Yeah, and 26 is Saquon Barkley running left, running right all over the Bears defense as we say good morning to Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. Courtney, thanks for your time.
Good morning. How are you, Jay Hood?
We're doing fine, thank you. What is the biggest reason why the Bears lost to the Giants yesterday?
I mean, like what Brian Daboll was saying in terms of Saquon Barkley being a really good football player, I mean, this run defense is on pace to be historically bad. And I think that that's a big part of it, because when you've got Daniel Jones on these play action design run touchdowns that he had, like, and then on top of that, Saquon Barkley is gashing you left and right. Like, it makes what they did against Green Bay look not as bad, because statistically, like, the numbers were worse yesterday. So, I mean, that's a huge part of it. They were inconsistent, really, in all three phases. But I think, you know, defensively, with how bad they've been on play action, how bad they you know, that led them to be against the run. And then on the other side of that, you did see moments of growth with Justin Fields, but it's not enough. I mean, you learned yesterday, if you didn't already know it, this is not enough to compete even against mediocre football teams. So I think that that's a huge problem. They didn't score on any of their three trips inside the red zone. For every good moment that Fields had, like the 56-yard pass to Darnell Mooney that kind of quieted some of the doubt about their connection, you know, he still leaves them open late at the, you know, right ahead of the two-minute warning in the first half when he bails on a read and scrambles just outside of the Giants' red zone when Mooney was, you know, streaking open down the field, wide open for a touchdown. There's still little things like that, and you're not seeing that improvement as much on a week-to-week basis. But I think that's kind of what you expect with this group and a young quarterback and a defense that's, you know, still very inconsistent from first half to second half.
Courtney, good morning. Good to talk to you again. Looking at Justin's play yesterday, they just put up a stat on GetUp. He's being pressured 48% of the dropbacks that he has, number one worst pressure rate in the National Football League. He got hit 9 times. He got sacked 6. They only tried 22 passes. He's dropping back, and he's got PTSD. Don't you think that factors into some of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, nothing is working on offense right now. The entire unit is broken, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the offensive line, the wide receivers. I mean, it all goes hand in hand. And I feel like when you see those numbers for Fields and how often he's under pressure, I tweeted something yesterday that through four games, he's been sacked 16 times, and outside of Jay Cutler in 2010, that's the most by any Bears quarterback since the AFL-NFL merger. Like, that's not all on the quarterback, but some of it is on the quarterback because of how long he is waiting back there. And you heard Fields yesterday say that the pass protection, there was times where he felt like he had all day, and he was, you know, no one was around him. And then there's other moments where the pocket collapses. Like, I think about that third and three play when they were backed up after the interception by Eddie Jackson. Like, he really had no chance to try to hit Equanimeous St. Brown outside, or even a poorly timed up throw, I think, he could have made to Cole Kmet. That's why he goes towards the sideline just to get rid of the ball, because the second the ball snapped, he's got three defenders on him. And it's tough, because I think that you can scheme guys away from pressure, but you can only do it so much. We did see more of the bootleg, play fake, play action, all that stuff yesterday, but it just isn't enough right now to where Justin Fields is getting away from pressure at a higher rate where he can be more successful in making plays. I just feel like it's all going hand in hand as to why this offense is really struggling.
You know, Courtney, it's interesting around the National Football League, and I'm not saying I'm watching every game, but you can get the red zone and get the Bears going on. I see a lot of teams being very conservative, especially in fourth down situations. So it's so interesting. You're in the press conference, and Eberflus is, I got to watch the tape. But he certainly was steadfast in his belief that on fourth and two, with 3:15 mm-hmm. left, trailing 20-12, that the punt was the right idea. It's as unambitious and as conventional as you'll find. What did you think of that play? Because he tells you he needs to see the tape, but he was sure that that was a good operation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that most people, when you see, you know, Khalil Herbert picks up 1 yard and then there's the fourth and two and they bail on it, that's where you should be using your quarterback's biggest asset, his legs, right? Like, is that not what's going through everybody else's mind? Give yourself a chance right there. And he said, you know, it's kind of a vague answer that, like, oh, yeah, they have all the numbers, and he and Luke Getsy are constantly talking during games and even before the game. I guess that's a scenario that they thought of. I don't know if it was the exact same one, but just in terms of getting to that part of the low red zone and what they would do if they ran it and then they didn't convert, if they did convert. Like, they had scenarios apparently planned out for all of it, but they didn't end up going for it on fourth and two at the four, which I think is just the wrong call because, let's face it, this team can't score a lot of points. All 12 came from their kicker that they signed 24 hours before yesterday. So when you do have a chance, be a little bit more aggressive in that scenario and go for it, because they didn't convert on any of their other trips in the red zone. And I think at that point, you knew the offense needed some sort of boost. And it felt like the coaching staff and that decision right there kind of let air out of the balloon when it really didn't have to.
Courtney, that fourth and two, when they elected to punt, actually worked out. They get the football back, except Velus Jones can't hang on to a punt. Ball game over.
But the thing that the Bears do best is run the football. The Giants are 28th against the run coming into the game. It's 2 yards.
But you just saw that they couldn't make 2 yards, and their offensive line now was down Cody Whitehair. I would have punted the football, too.
The old give-up play.
It's not a give-up play.
If you can't get 2 yards in this league, then you really are in a bad way. 2 yards, Cap.
But
it's the strength of the team.
But you're going up against a team that doesn't have a quarterback left. They're running a running back at quarterback. They're going to do nothing to try and really make a big play, and they punt the ball back to you, and you're going to get the football. Actually, if you go back and watch that play, he has a running lane. If he catches the punt, they're going to have good field position.
That's true.
So I personally would have punted the football, Courtney.
I mean, I can understand the logic, but, like, again, when you're that close to the end zone, let's think about this rationally, you have to score points. Like, otherwise you're coming away in a really weird situation and scratching your head on the sideline saying, well, why weren't we more aggressive there? And I know he's going to defend the play call because Luke Getsy was coming under fire in a lot of different ways yesterday, whether it was, you know, the way that Fields was playing, the way it was good, it was bad, and the pass protection, there's a lot there. So I get it in defending the play call, but I just don't think it was the right move. Because I think looking back, you're going to say that was a wasted opportunity considering every other time they got down in that area or anywhere close to it, they failed to score seven.
What's the latest on the injuries?
you know, I think they came away relatively healthy outside of Cody Whitehair. And that you saw what happened up front when he gets hurt with a knee injury and Matty Berflus wouldn't, you know, they diagnosed it pretty quickly and downgraded him to out. So that's something I think to definitely monitor, and we'll hear from Matt Eberflus today if it's going to be a long-term one. You'd imagine that they would have the scans done right away, but I think that changed the tone up front, because when Lucas Patrick had to move to the left guard, they keep Tevin Jenkins at right guard. You know, they've got to make a decision at some point here in the near future and stop with the offensive line rotation, especially at the interior spots, because that's where the pressure's coming from for Fields. And I think if Lucas Patrick is healthy enough to play center, you've got to make that call sooner rather than later, because it's affecting how, you know, the game is called up front, and it's affecting the consistency up front. I'm not going to say that it's going to magically fix the pass protection issues, but some of that is on the quarterback. I just think you need a little bit more consistency there. So that's the one that we're watching. And then I guess it was a good sign, because David Montgomery did a warm-up yesterday. First time I had seen him since he got injured in the Houston game. And he was running probably a lot better than I thought he was going to be. So keep an eye on that one. Maybe it's another week that they let him sit out to get healed up with the knee and ankle injuries. But that was a good, encouraging sign.
Courtney, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again at the end of the week. And then any breaking news, please jump in if you hear something.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
It is. Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears, with us here on ESPN 1000. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. As a change at quarterback for the Steelers, we'll have our Mitch update. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock every Monday at 9, we talk to the great Alex Brown. You got problems with that Bears defense? He'll address it at 9 o'clock. All part of the mix right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app. This is the Cap and Jay Hood Mitch update.
All right, here we go. Take your shots. I was in Mitchell Trubisky's corner, but here's the truth. He had the job. All he had to do was play better. He didn't. And now we got to all get behind Nick Foles.
Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell Trubisky.
Maserati Mitch is headed to Steeltown. Mitchell Trubisky, baby.
Let's bitch on Twitch about Mitch on the Cap and Jay Hood Show on ESPN Chicago.
We'll hear from Alex Brown coming up at 9 o'clock here on the home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000, and the ESPN Chicago app. Happy anniversary, Mitch Trubisky. October 2nd, 2017, Mitch was benched. Mike Glennon benched for Mitchell Trubisky. October 2nd, 2022, Mitchell Trubisky benched for Kenny Pickett. Happy anniversary.
So Kenny Pickett got two running touchdowns, threw three interceptions. Mitch did nothing with the offense. That's a bad Steeler team. And their wide receiver room makes, they look like all pros next to us. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Freiermuth at tight end makes more plays than our guy ever has.
Well, it's up to a veteran quarterback to lead them, isn't it, Cap?
And apparently that veteran quarterback continued his moribund play that got him out of this town.
He's my Glennon. That's exactly what he is. There you are, JR. That's what we got.
He's going to make a ton of money in his life. As a good guy, backup. Someone's, hey, he got hurt. Get Mitch in there.
By Menon.
By Glennon.
He wanted to sit his backup all year, Tomlin did.
Yep.
Yeah, same thing we wanted to do here. We wanted, this is Mike Glennon's season. That lasted four games.
Yeah, 3.5 games. Good job.
So there you have it. We just knew it was going to happen. Like, Brother Tomlin's not going to stand there and let his legacy be ruined by Mitchell Trubisky. Saw the first half. Standard is a standard. Put the kid in. That's what happened.
And then after the game, is Kenny Pickett the quarterback going forward? I haven't made that decision.
He's not going to tell you that.
No.
He's
got to start him, right?
He wanted a spark. And Mitch was not. And as we always say, this is my thought on Mitch Trubisky. He's not going to lose you the game. He also is not going to win you the game.
Correct.
And that's a problem.
Correct. Just exists back there. You know what he is? And you said Mike Glennon. I think he's Chase Daniel, because Cap's right. This guy's going to go bounce around the league, make $31 million in his career, never do anything impactful in NFL football, but it's going to make a boatload of money and be a journeyman until he's 38 years old.
That's correct.
Yep.
That is correct.
Just be a placeholder. Not the guy, but just be a placeholder. So there you have it.
Yeah, who do you want right now? Mitch or Zappy?
Zappy.
That guy's a legend.
Okay.
Covering on the road in Green Bay, okay. The pride of Western Kentucky.
All right. I'm not going to. We're not talking about Zappy.
Okay. Legend.
Well, we'll get to Zappy when the Bears play the Patriots. Is that fair?
Yes.
Jeez. It's a kid. But there's your league, though. There's your average league. It's amazing what's happening in this NFL. 312-332-3776, our phone number. So you're still, now that Mitch is the backup, are you done now? We're done with the Mitch update, or are we going to?
Yeah.
Yes, we're done. Yeah. Yes, we are done.
Okay. Unless somehow he's back in there, we're done.
He'll start the next game.
Correct.
Maybe. They just needed a spark. I saw it on the red zone. They just weren't moving the football. You know, 6 points in the first half. Like, that just stinks.
Yes.
I guess the Jets?
And then the Jets had to get a review to get a touchdown at the end to win the game, right?
Yes, yeah, that's correct. So there you have it. So coming up, we're going to hear from the great Alex Brown. We are going to get his thoughts about the Bears' defense and where the Bears go from here. They're 2-2 going into their game against Minnesota. We're going to get your reaction as well. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and J. Hood, mornings 7 to 10. 2 minutes.